And thank you for standing by. At this time, all lines will be open. To mute and unmute your line, please press star 6. I will go ahead and ask this as a reminder. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Mr. Fabio Tazzia. Mr. Tazzia, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to a new tech talk from the G-Development organization. Topic of the day is the OmegaMon, let's say, exploitation and assessment on ITM 622. ITM 622 has just been released to manufacturing. I don't think it's GA yet, or it might be EGA, but you know, it's just fresh out of the development group, and so we thought of doing this quick tech talk on letting the field know what is our levels of exploitations and our relationship with ITM 622. The speaker of the day is John Oshiro, one of our architect leads in the OmegaMon space. And so I'll just leave it over to John to walk you guys through the deck. And all lines are open, so feel free to ask John questions throughout the session, or even if you hear this recorded later on, feel free to drop me an email, John an email, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. So said that, John, it's all yours.
Thank you, Fabio. Good morning or afternoon, wherever you may be. My name is John Oshiro. I'm an architect for the OmegaMon family of products. And today what we want to do is talk about ITM 622, which is, as Fabio said, EGA today, and we'll go full GA first week of October for most of our product line. Today what I want to do is talk about the amount of testing that we've done with the OmegaMon family of products. That includes the 410 and 420 level products, as well as the OmegaMon for messaging products at its various levels, and the OmegaMon ZVM Z Linux product as well.
And then, John, if I may interrupt you before you start with that, just a reminder to everybody that the packaging has changed, right? So we did a conference, a tech talk just last week on this. Now ITM is a prereq of OmegaMon, a prereq from a, you know, from a packaging standpoint. So from today on, any customer that buys and downloads OmegaMon, they will get automatically ITM 622, right? 621 is off the books, and it's 622. Of course, the OmegaMons will still work on 621, so we prereq 621 up, but in the package, starting today, customers will get 622.
Thank you, Fabio. That is a very important aspect, especially if your customers have already deployed ITM 621. We continue to support that as the minimum level for all the V420 level products. As we proceed through the presentation today, I'll point out some of the major features of ITM 622 and how much of those features can be exploited with the OmegaMon products and how much have actually been tested with them. I kind of very informal in terms of presentation, and I cannot see same time conference control panels as the PowerPoint presentations are in full screen mode. So if you do have any questions, please feel free to interrupt me. I'm right here, so speak up and the line should be open. In the meantime, I would ask that all of you stay on mute until you're ready. You should, if you are on the web conference, you should be seeing the agenda. That will be slide number 2. And if you're following along via the email attachments, that's okay too. I'll be yelling out the slide numbers so that you all can see what we are seeing. So this is the agenda. We want to cover ITM 6.2.2 toleration. That is all the functions and features that have come with prior release of ITM and how they are tolerated by the existing OmegaMon products. Also, we'd like to talk a little bit about beta testing that has occurred for ZOS and ZVM customers, and to assure you that ITM 622 has not just been released. In fact, it's been out of beta sites for several customers and operational for quite a while. And then we'll transfer into ITM 622 major features and functions and how much of those are supported under ZOS primarily, System Z, We will also be talking about ZVM, Z-Linux, and finally wrapping up known compatibility issues. Now, I do want to mention that all of you should have received an email message from Fabio that includes this slide deck, but also another attachment, which is a zip file containing the latest version of ITM Super. And that's the JavaScript-based code that Arun Desai has developed, and there is a version of ITM Super in that package that is unique and relevant to today's call on the topic of autonomous agents. So if you did not get those two attachments, please let Fabio and myself know.
Yeah, John, I think there was a little error there where we sent out twice the PowerPoint. So if you can send me back that zip file, I'll make sure that everybody will get it.
Okay.
Hey, John, is that ITM Super compatible if my customer is running either 6.2.0 or 6.2.1 also?
I believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course, that autonomous agent piece isn't going to be operational until you get to ITM 6.2.2.
Right. I was just asking because I could give them the latest update on that, and then they could just install it and be ready.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And I also have in the slide deck the URL to the Opal site where the current version is also posted.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. So this is the agenda. Let's move on to slide number 3. Slide 3 shows the list of beta sites that were actually trialing ITM 6.2.2 with ZOS, which includes sites outside of IBM as well as those inside IBM. And the list of IBM or Megamon products that actually were tested with the 6.2.2 release, which includes a complete suite of the Omegamon 410 products, as well as the messaging 6.6.0.1 level product. And again, if you're not going to be speaking, please go on mute. Slide number 4 shows the two beta test sites for TEMS and TEPS on Z-Linux, and these sites again, one site outside of IBM and another within IBM. Okay, so that's the quick overview of the beta sites. Now, in slide 5, we move into what has been toleration tested, that is to verify that no regressions have occurred. And this is a complete list out of the various organizations that make up the Omegamon suite of products. The only Jolie, who's the test manager for the Omegamon 410 and 420 products, has verified that all of the SOCIN portfolio products have no regressions associated with ITM 6.2.2. That includes a hub TEMS running on ZOS as well as a Windows-based TEMS. Now, the DB2 organization runs Omegamon XC for DB2 out of Germany, and we have also confirmation from their development team that the version 410 and version 420 products are operational and fully pass regression tests under 6.2.2. K-Maji out of the messaging organization also has confirmed that messaging V 700, Fix Pack 1, which is the current GA release of messaging, is operational under ITM 6.2.2, and that includes not only the ZOS agents, but also the distributed agents running under a 6.2.2 framework. She has noted that the prior release of the product, messaging 6.0.1, Fix Pack 2, has not yet been tested with 6.2.2. So that's one area that we're unsure of, but pretty confident that the current GA release is working. Omegamon XE for ZVM and Z-Linux version 4.1.2 Fix Pack 1 is operational, again verified by the development teams there. And likewise, ITM 6.2.2 will itself be certified under ZOS 1.11 by Marcus Wiley and team. They are the he represents the ITM certification team for all the platforms that are announced and certified with the ITM based products. Likewise, all of the OmegaMod products that you've seen listed, at least for ZOS above, have also been tested internally on our development machines with ZOS 1.11 without problem. And finally, through all these tests, we've also done significant amounts of integration testing, and we've verified that the version 410, version 420, and messaging 700 load modules can coexist with the ITM framework, 62 ITM framework, in the same address spaces. So in an integrated environment, these products have also been tested on a full 62 framework suite. Any questions about toleration? All right, hearing none, we can move on to the next slide, slide number 6. And from here, what we want to talk about is those features that are new to ITM 6.2.2 and how much of those features apply to the existing product suite, GA and GA-1. First of all, you should know that the OmegaMon products, depending on their version, are either developed with what's called shared library support, which enables the inheritance of features delivered by the framework without having to relink or rebuild the product. And for those products, we're talking about shared library support applies to the OmegaMon 420 line of products, which were built with ITM 6.2.1, the messaging 700 level product, which was built with ITM 6.2 Fixed Pack 1. OmegaMon XE for messaging 701 will go GA in fourth quarter of this year. And again, it will be built with ITM 6.2.2 Fixed Pack 1 when it goes for GA in fourth quarter. And then finally, OmegaMon XE for ZVM and Zlinux V412, while it was built with ITM 1.0 Fixed Pack 7, it in fact does inherit the shared library support because it runs under a Linux environment, which always had the Linux shared library support. So those set of products will in fact inherit the new features that we'll see in the next few slides. The other products, the OmegaMon 410 products and messaging 600 family of products, were built with ITM 6.1, and on ZOS, at any levels prior to ITM 6.2.0 Fixed Pack 1, static linking occurred, and that means that the framework itself is statically linked into the load modules of those products, and any changes delivered by the framework do not get inherited by those products. So when we talk about inheritance of the new features like autonomous agents and dynamic thresholding, they do not apply to OmegaMon 410 nor OmegaMon for messaging 600. All the other products will inherit them. Any questions about shared library support at this time? Okay, very good. Moving on to slide number 7, what I list here is the major features of ITM 6.2.2. And while this is not the complete list of all the new functions and features delivered by 6.2.2, it is the ones that we are most concerned about, and I will be concentrating for the remainder of the presentation on how well these features operate with the 420 and messaging 700 line of products, and as well ZVM Zlinux V412. The first feature is called PASS, or Proxy Agent Services. It is a facility which was originally developed in prior releases of ITM, but has been improved significantly to apply to many, many different distributed products. It provides what's called a watchdog process to monitor the health and welfare of the agents on a given system. and then automatically has the capability, if configured for it, to restart failed agents as it detects failure. And it relies on the OS agent of that specific managed system to provide workspaces, queries, and the restart and the stop, take action facilities to implement proxy agent services. And we'll talk about that, and we'll see to what extent PaaS is supported on the Z products, the OmegaMod products. The next major feature is called Autonomous Agents. This is in initial release for ITM 6.2.2. It allows agents that have been built with the and operational with the ITM 6.2.2 framework to run without connecting to TEMs and TEPs. That is to say that the agents themselves and address spaces on ZOS can be accessed by alternate means other than going through a TEMs and a TEPs. And thus the entire the bulk of the ITM infrastructure is not required if you have facilities to query data through an HTTP, a SOAP-like interface, through what's called agent services, the agent services interface. Likewise, you can code situations to be locally defined in XML. As an end user, you can define XML situations to be coded at the agent. The agent at startup will read the XML and then trigger events through SNMP. The SNMP traps then can be used to deliver the events to an SNMP manager or, as tested, directly to tech as well. In the it should be noted that in the Fixed Pack 1 release of ITM 6.2.2, and a direct EIF interface is being developed for 6.2.2 Fixed Pack 1, which will also allow the private situations to deliver directly to Omnibus as well as TET. But that's a future, that's for Fixed Pack 1. And finally, autonomous agents have what is called private history, the ability to collect historical data and record them for recall directly from the agent itself. Dynamic thresholding, a feature that first appeared with ITM 6.2.1 and has been enhanced to an extent where it becomes applicable not only to distributed products but now to products that are running under ZOS. In dynamic thresholding, the feature provides the ability for a customer to use historical data to suggest a threshold setting for attributes that have been observed by history. And based upon what has been observed, baselining to suggest thresholds in situations can be accomplished, thereby allowing customers to base their thresholds on what has been observed in history. Likewise, dynamic thresholding provides calendaring features, which allows a facility called Situation Overrides to change the value of thresholds in monitored situations based upon a calendar setting. So depending on the day of the week and the time of the day, a specific situation can be overridden to adjust the thresholds unique for that time zone or time period, and likewise make unique modifications and overrides for specific managed systems, knowing that some may be operating at different productivity levels than others. So those features, again, were originally developed and delivered in ITM 6.2.1. What is important for us today is that with 6.2.2, subnodes are now supported with dynamic thresholding, and that EBCDIC data is now supported for the situation overrides. And that includes UTF-8 globalized translated predicates that are emitted in UTF-8. So that's dynamic thresholding. And again, I promise that we'll cover each of these in details in slides that follow.
Hey, John, does that mean that the capability is now equal for dynamic thresholding for agents that run on ZOS or don't run on ZOS? Does that mean that all agents are equal now with this respect?
That's correct. The intent is that dynamic thresholding applies not only to distributed agents, but also those agents that run on ZOS and ZVM. The other point to make is that any agents that, whether they're distributed or mainframe-based, that use subnodes could not qualify for dynamic thresholding in ITM 6.2.1, and now they do. So subnode support applies across the entire platform line of ITM.
Right, and all the functions apply to all of them, right?
Yes, and we'll talk about the limitations of dynamic thresholding and known problems that exist with it. So we're not free and clear of everything, but pretty much we do know that OmegaMon XE on ZOS successfully applied calendaring, situation override thresholds, and worked with the suggested thresholding mechanisms. So we're confident that OmegaMon XE on ZOS will work with dynamic thresholdings at 6.2.2.
Okay, thank you.
A few more items of interest. SLES 11 is a new platform type, operationally a version of Linux that operates on 31-bit, I'm told. I was corrected yesterday, not 32-bit, but 31-bit and 64-bit machines. Specifically, SLES 11 is supported on 31-bit Z under Z Linux, SLES 11 64-bit Z on Z hardware, 32-bit or 31-bit X Intel platform, as well as SLES 11 on 64-bit in compatibility mode, 32-bit compatibility mode on Intel x86. And we'll talk about what happens if these SLES 11 systems are hubs, which hubs are currently supported and which are not. And then finally, extensive modifications associated with ICAT. Some of these were delivered in 2008. And many of them apply now directly to ITM 6.2.2 support, and a whole bunch of features that are being delivered with 6.2.2, as well as post 6.2.2 delivery in fourth quarter of this year and first quarter of next year on what's happening with ICAT to support the 6.2.2 framework. Okay, any questions before we move on to the next slide number 8? Okay. There are other features that come with ITM 6.2.2, which we will not be covering today. And for those features, I would refer you to the GoTraining website that is presented in the backup set of the slides in this presentation. They include the list on slide number 8, which starts with TEP UI upgrades and granular warehousing and things like that. They do, in fact, apply to the ZOS-based products, but they do not in any way impact the operation of the agents. So I've listed these and noted on slide 8 and on slide 9 that they are available with 6.2.2. They come with the framework and apply uniformly across the board with all the distributed platforms. On slide 9, it begins with TEMS self-monitoring, which includes situations to check the catalog level, whether the catalogs are synchronized with the agent version level, and also provides some of the things that we've seen in ITM Super, like a agent and TEMS topology view. Okay. So that's the list of minor features, if you will. And so we move to slide number 10, and we start talking about one of the major features, which is proxy agent services. Now, it turns out that proxy agent services itself needs the support of the OS agent, and none of it has been built into, in the case of ZOS, OmegaMon XE on ZOS. And it would require OmegaMon XE on ZOS to deliver the workspace of the queries as well as the take action features to start and stop agents dynamically on every ZOS LPAR and system that's declared as a managed system. So as the, in that case, then, since the OmegaMon OS agent is not enabled for it, proxy agent services is not supported on ZOS, nor is it supported on i5 systems, otherwise known as AS400. Messaging 700 Fixed Pack 1 will exploit this on distributed only. So unlike the other OmegaMon suites that run on Z, any messaging that run on distributed will be able to pick these features up, starting with ITM 6.2.2 Fixed Pack 1. There are noted defects associated with proxy agent services that need to be corrected for messaging to operate properly with proxy agent services support. And then finally, for ZVMZ Linux, the Linux OS agent itself has been modified and enabled to support proxy agent services. So while manual configuration is still necessary to support proxy agent services on ZVM and Z Linux, it should be available with the V410 fixed pack, I'm sorry, 412 fixed pack one level of the ZVM product. Again, that has not been, the support for PaaS has not been verified by the development team, although the ITM team has in fact verified it on Z Linux. Any questions about proxy agent services?
So this is one of the, this is Smitty again, this is one of the things that they're thinking about doing to provide support for the OmegaMons on ZOS. Is that in a plan anywhere, John? Or?
Yeah, the discussions now are to, in fact, enable the OmegaMon XE on ZOS agent or the ZMC agent. We still are discussing that in the ITM 7.1 timeframe. At that point in time, we'll actually see these functions and services for at least the ZOS-based product. But, of course, ZOS is a bit touchy in terms of having automated recovery and restart of address spaces. They really needs to be coordinated with automation-based products like NetView and SA and AF Operator and those kinds of products. So,
right, and this is the one that only applies to the OS agent, so it would only be either OmegaMon on ZOS or ZMC, right?
Right, and they would, in once enabled, that agent would be able to restart any other agent under the ZOS environment.
Right, okay, thank you.
So at the, I think the conclusion here is that proxy agent services applies to messaging if it's on distributed and XE on ZVM Linux, but none of the other products will actually be able to exploit this new feature of 622. Any questions?
And thank you, John. This is Li Wang. So alternatively, for ZOS customer, we can, at least they can still use ITM Super to monitor internal.
Right, yeah. As far as monitoring the health and welfare of these agents, ITM Super, as well as the new TEMS-based MOSWAS monitor our stuff with our stuff features, the self-health capabilities will be able to monitor it. Remember, Lee, that the proxy agent services provides the ability to automatically restart failed agents.
I see, yeah.
So that part of it is not available.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so that's proxy agent services. If you have no further questions, any other questions out there?
John, this is Alice Block.
Yes, Alice.
I have a question about something that Fabio said at the beginning about packaging, and I asked Bob Risley to join to help answer. It's my understanding that ITM isn't automatically included in the OmegaMon package anymore. It's presented as a prerequisite, and also that Tivoli Management Services on ZOS hasn't gone GA yet, so it wouldn't be available to the Z customers yet.
Well, it's quasi-GA. It is available EGA, but by the first week of October, it will be...
Right, okay.
Oh, John, let me give you the straight facts. It's not available for mainframe customers until 10.9. The distributed product having an EGA does not affect what mainframe customers see. Okay?
Okay.
10.9 will be the time that it is GA is 6.2.2. Until then, it will be 6.2.1 that's available.
Okay. And as Alice noted, that 6.2.2 post 10.9 will come in the box with OmegaMon V420 products, right?
No, it's a prereq, so the customer actually has to order it if they want it.
Okay.
If they do that, then it will be part of it, yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Bob, for joining us. Any further questions associated with packaging? Okay, let's talk about the next area of major release, which is autonomous agents. And as I mentioned, autonomous agents allows the capability of customers to run without the full ITM framework. If all they want to do is collect data via SNMP or via HTTP directly to the agent itself, the autonomous agents allows them to do that and gives them an alternative to the ITM framework if they so choose to. Configuration is fully supported through ICAT, at least on ZOS. If you want to do configuration anywhere else, it requires manual configuration as indicated for ZVM and Linux. Messaging 7.0.1, which will go GA fourth quarter of this year, will fully exploit this feature and make use of it as a feature of the product. And as such, 7.0.1 absolutely requires a minimum level of ITM 6.2.2. I believe Fixed Pack 1 is the designated prereq level. Let's see. The SNMP support for autonomous agents allows several different versions of SNMP protocol to be used, which includes SNMP version 1 and version 2, both of which have been tested, configured and tested by Mike DeFata from our test teams. Where we ran into trouble during SNMP testing is with version 3, which requires a TCP/IP secure socket layer protocol, as well as a configuration to encrypt the SNMP password or community, what's known as a community name. And that requires configuration of TCP/IP transport layer translation for SSL support, as well as ICSF, to encrypt the password required for SNMP V3 access. TechNote is being authored while we speak by Dean Okamura, so that any customers interested in gaining autonomous agent access via SNMP version 3 will have the instructions. But in the meantime, I do have at the end of the slide instructions for configuration of SNMP version 3. They are in the back end of this slide deck. They are notes from Mike DeFata and what he had to do to get the configuration running for SNMP version 3. Autonomous Agents provides the ability to record history without having TDW connected to the agents, nor through TEMS, and this is called private history. And for ZOS-based monitoring, the private history is recorded to a persistent data store, or PDS, just like normal history would be recorded if the agent was connected to a hub TEMS or TEMS, remote TEMS. Private situations, as I noted before, are situations that can be loaded and monitored by the agent without having downloaded any situations from a TEMS These private situations are coded in XML, and they have been thoroughly tested with OmegaMon XE for IMS to emit events to a tech console tech configured for SNMP. And again, Mike DiFada is the test engineer that actually ran those tests. No testing for autonomous agent has been done for XE for ZVM and Z-Linux, although we know that that product is enabled as well because of shared library support. And finally, the HTTP interface to download or query data directly out of an agent is operational for all ZOS and ZVM-based products. There is a Dojo client that comes with ITM 6.2.2. Unfortunately, that Dojo client does not work under ZOS because of its use of long names and long directories. That's noted in the defect on the slide. And as a result, what normally is available as a client under TEMS environments or remote client environments everywhere else on ZOS, that support is not available. Instead, Arun Desai has developed a Java script-based client that runs under Windows XE and has packaged that with the ITM Super suite of tools. And the product called ITM SA will, in fact, be able to query data straight out of an autonomous agent. I would have wanted to give you a demo of that capability, but unfortunately, this recent change to ITM Super was developed and packaged within the week. So I wasn't able to get this operational and running, and perhaps maybe it should be left as a student exercise to configure an autonomous agent and then point the ITM SA HTML script straight at an autonomous agent and then verify that the data can be queried. The OPAL download site is provided there as well. And again, I've been told by Ben Lang, who manages the website, that it in fact has, the recent version has been posted there. I did not know whether it was going to be posted, so I also will include with the slide deck in email a copy of the zip file that contains the ITM Super package. Any questions about autonomous agents?
Yeah, John, I kind of missed you partway through here. As far as the OmegaMons on ZOS are concerned, with the 420 versions, I think you said that we can't have the autonomous agent support until we actually are built against ITM 6.2.2, right?
No, that's not true. The autonomous agents, because the 420 versions of products use shared DLL supports, autonomous agent gets inherited because of the shared framework.
Okay, so I guess what I'm missing is then, are we providing autonomous agents today for the OmegaMons?
They can be enabled. Yes, that's correct. So any 420 product that is installed with ITM 6.2.2 should inherit these capabilities. And if you configure the port for the agent services interface as well as SNMP, you get those features for free. They will start operating. And they, in fact, have been tested by our test team.
Donis Yang built the support for us, maybe, and he very specifically made sure he worked as well.
Okay, and you said, I know you mentioned the instructions for SNMP. Where are the instructions for the customer to actually, you know, make one of those OmegaMon agents work autonomously?
They are provided with the ITM 6.2.2 doc set. They are formally documented in the installation configuration guide.
Okay, great.
And likewise, the ICAT support will, in fact, provide you the capability of walking through that and configuring the autonomous agent support.
Right, that part I remember. I didn't know what the – I'll look at the configuration steps. One more question for you is does this imply that SNMP, one instance of SNMP is running on each of the LPARs?
it requires the protocol to be available. Yeah.
So if they've got one TCP/IP stack at least, and they have one SNMP address space running there, so that they can make the queries, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll look at the doc. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions on autonomous agents?
Yes, John. This is Carol. So, I'm just not clear on what the customer may want to use autonomous agents for. Can you say a little or explain a little bit on what they would need this for?
Well, I think there was a great paper Greg Bowman put out on how connected versus or autonomous agents would work in terms of a marketing stream. But to summarize, the use of autonomous agents allows our products, all of our agent-based products, to operate with, first of all, third-party SNMP-based monitoring schemes. So it breaks out our agents not only from the ITM framework, but allows them to interoperate with other facilities, which includes like our competitor products to grab data out of our agents. And likewise, both SNMP and the agent service interface allows third-party or even IBM-based capabilities to be extended to other user interfaces, for instance, or to private development by customers. And the final aspect of autonomous agents, and this applies more to the distributed arena than to the Z arena, is that you can run the agents just as data collectors, and as such not have to or not be required to run the full ITM framework for customers that are very small, who do not need the full monitoring capabilities that are provided by TEPS and TEMS. They can, in fact, deploy for distributed environments these agents and then interoperate with a smaller, lighter weight framework for monitoring of health and welfare. That's in a nutshell, but a better description of autonomous versus connected agents is provided in the Go training deck from ITM 622. I would refer you to that.
I think it would be good to review it in, I mean, there's really agent-based, agent-less, and autonomous AAA, right?
Right.
And really being comfortable with all three is, I think, a good comeback maybe even. Maybe, Fabio, we tee that up as a topic.
Again, I think Greg Bowman has a great presentation that kind of gives you a little matrix of all of those different alternatives and which customer target is oriented toward using those variations. Of course, agentless is sort of not applicable for the ZOS or ZVM product line.
I mean, what Smitty's talking about is SNMP and those kind of things. So all of those are quote-unquote agentless, right?
Right.
Sit outboard and look at it. So, you know, you can do that with Z-Linux, for instance.
True, you could. It may be, in fact, more applicable later when we talk about Z-Hybrid, for instance, or Z-Griffin.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Any more comments or questions on autonomous agents?
So this is Ed Wood. So basically what you're saying is, are we going to publish MIBs that say the HP people can take and compile and then pull in Megamon data? Is that kind of where we're going with this?
No.
No? Okay.
The SNMP stuff primarily is oriented toward trapping events.
Okay, that's what I want to know. We're just sending traps. Okay.
Yeah.
And then if you really wanted data, you need to go through the HTTP interface where you actually submit SQL. And the SQL against the attribute groups and attribute themselves to grab data out of the OmegaMon agent.
Okay. Thank you.
Good questions. Thank you. You guys are obviously very excited about these features. Okay, next slide, slide number 12, talks about limitations. In particular, these are notes that came in from Dennis Yang, who's the developer, chief designer for autonomous agents. First of all, he notes that private history works on ZOS, but the agent history data is always recorded using the application name and the table name as a key. And as such, the normal history that's recorded with the agent when it's connected to a hub or connected to a TEMS is the same history as the private history being recorded by the autonomous agent. And that is going to be changed in a future release in Fixback 1, according to Defect 113597, to separate them out. So for the time being, the historical data for private history and enterprise history, connected history, has the same keys. And when you do the query, the data will come back as such, forwarded to the ID of the agent itself. And to note that some nodes were also tested with autonomous history, and it's not a concern, as it was with the dynamic thresholding. So a little bit of a gotcha associated with private history, that the fact that it's being recorded side-by-side with connected agent history. And in the future, that should be separated. Any questions about that? All right. Dynamic thresholding, a great feature especially for our customers that have no clue how to set our situations. A lot of them are asking for best practices, and the feature itself answers the question, what should I expect in terms of threshold levels that I should set for situations. It gives the customer or enables the customer to use historical observations for a given product to set attribute values in thresholds for situations. And it's a feature that was first introduced in 6.2.1, but with enough limitations that it made the feature rather unusable on ZOS in particular, or any machine that used MCDEC. In 6.2, most of those, in fact, shortcomings have been overcome. First, 6.2 supports subnodes. And as you know, most of our Megamod products, except for maybe a Megamod on ZOS, uses subnodes to identify things like the KIX regions being monitored or the IMS subsystems that are being monitored. And so without the subnode support, dynamic thresholding really was inapplicable to those products. Now with 6.2, we have subnode support. Although at this point in time, we have not done an extensive job of testing those subnodes yet. We have ongoing tests with Joe Lee's team to ensure that subnode support is, in fact, operational. Likewise, in 6.2.1, MCDEC predicate support was not provided, and until 6.2.2, the ability to test MCDEC thresholds or string characters, string attributes, if you will, was not provided. That really was a big drawback in terms of ability to support dynamic thresholding, especially on ZOS. And finally, any UTF-8 predicates that were emitted could not be tested with dynamic thresholding in 6.2.1, which now has been addressed by 6.2.2. Now, there is a caveat here for any products that emit UTF-8 format or globalized data. PTFs will be required by those products to incorporate the UTF-8 support. And we've identified that Omegamon XE for DB2 version 420 and Omegamon XE for mainframe networks version 420 both emit UTF-8 data. And until that PTF is deployed, any situation overrides for dynamic thresholding will not operate properly, and we ask you to avoid that. But that does not mean that straight single byte MCDEC strings nor numeric data will continue to operate or will operate as delivered in 420 products today. So the gotcha is any UTF-8 data. Messaging 601 has chosen not to provide a PTF, and when OmegaMon for messaging version 701 is released fourth quarter of this year, it will provide the full support for UTF-8 attributes. And their problem was associated with being able to redefine and redeliver the distributed version of the messaging agents. Therefore, they chose not to do it. And we'll put out a tech note indicating that any attempt to process UTF-8 attributes with dynamic thresholding will not operate properly. As mentioned, we've tested with OmegaMon XE on ZOS version 4.20, which does not use subnodes, so we were able to test it up front and early and have done extensive testing with dynamic thresholding. Brian Keeley was who is our developer for XE on ZOS, did complete testing from TEPS straight down to the TEMA with thresholding and calendaring and set his own overrides, and it operated just fine. XE for 701, as I mentioned, will fully exploit the feature in fourth quarter 2009. And subnode override testing is awaiting results from Joe Lee's team. Again, something that is ongoing in terms of exploitation testing. Any questions for dynamic thresholding? Great. Let's move on. SLES 11.
And, John, we only have 1 minute left.
Oh, okay. Let me move real quickly through it. SLES 11 is a new hub type that needs to be supported for ITM 6.2.2, and it turns out that the products that use MetaProbes, they are listed on that slide, are impacted. We have tested for everything on SLES 11, and the only environment that appears not to be operational is 64-bit Intel on SLES 11. So we will need to rebuild for MetaProbes for that environment, and that includes several 410 as well as 420 products, and move on from there. ICANN enhancements are extensive, especially with the configuration of autonomous agents as well as dynamic thresholding. Included in ICANN enhancements are future support for granular security. Turns out that the tables necessary for granular security have been implemented by ICANN already, and new persistent files are there. So lots of changes, lots of incorporations that ICANN has done. There's a URL that goes through all the details associated with the ICANN enhancements, and I would defer to those that presentation developed by Cecile Day. Of note is what has been provided to date, and then the features, which include simulated editor phase 3 and IVP with hull check capability and farm line support, which are coming out in fourth quarter and first quarter, second quarter 2010. And the next slides that follow kind of give you a historical record of what's been done in 2008 and 2009 for ICANN. And then finally, ICANN features, all associated with 62 support. Finally, I wanted to mention that although this is not an ITM 622 feature, ITM 621 delivered the ability to use DB on ZOS as the store for data warehousing, and so I did want to mention that information configuring ZOS DB2 for TDW is available through that URL that's presented in slide, and as well, this feature has been thoroughly tested by the ITM team to operate properly, but not as yet by the OmegaMon development team. Okay, any questions before we go to compatibility issues? All right, I do want to cover the compatibility issues, and hopefully you have time to do that, even though we overflow. There are several known issues associated with UTF-8 support for dynamic thresholding. As I mentioned, DB2 version 4.20 needs to come up with a PTF as well as a mainframe that works version 4.20. Messaging will not support it. I think I noted that already. There are also defects found by the messaging team associated with dynamic thresholding. In particular, if an agent uses early filtering logic column data is not refreshed in the take sample constructor call when a situation override takes place. And that is going to be potentially addressed in an interim fix 462 or in fix pack 1. And that is a potential problem for some of our products. Another problem with dynamic thresholding is if the override threshold value is a string and the string is longer than the override value is longer than the original situation baseline, the dynamic threshold appears not to work properly. It truncates the string. And another issue associated with take sample constructor processing. On slide 22, defects associated with existing application data. We know that the new installer for 62 has a problem with the application installer for version 4.20. If a customer installs the ITM 62 in a directory that is not the default directory, that is IBM ITM for Windows environments, and at the same time it does not provide a global JRE, these defects occur. The application data for a MegaMod version 4.20 does not install correctly. There is a workaround provided. We have assessed the problem, and the installer team is trying to come up with a fix for the next respin of the version 4.20 OmegaMod TD. The issue is not likely to occur for customers that upgrade from prior releases of our product, but for first-time installs or for POC trials, this may be an issue and may likely occur because they may choose a directory that is, in fact, different from the default directory.
And it's TUPS running on Windows only, right?
Correct. This is only on Windows. It does not apply for Unix. Thank you. Thank you, Smitty, for that clarification. Okay. The next line item, APAR IZ 27240, is a long-going problem associated with DB2 version 9 on the V410 application data. The workaround is currently on the GACD, it's listed in the README. It is the error message which indicates that the version of DB2 version 9 is not an accepted level. In fact, it is. So that has always been around, and it continues to exist even for ITM 6.2.2. Also for an existing long-standing problem for XE for CICS, the RKCP DEFW file is not being seeded properly for any releases from ITM 6.2 and forward. For Unix hubs, a workaround is also documented in the README. And again, these problems continue to exist even though ITM 6.2 has been installed. On slide 23, TEP issues associated with the gauge view, which is, if you know, the speedometer and linear graph views. It turns out the default color for gauges was changed to a white, which happens to be the same color of the tick marks used in several of the OmegaMod products, and as a result, the tick marks blend in and are not visible relative to the background color. That is currently open as a defect to 622. Agents fail to reconnect to TEMS if autonomous agents have been configured, and if you want to disable, if you want the agent to reconnect properly after a TEMS restart or a TEMS failure, then we recommend customers disable autonomy by specifying this environment variable IRA autonomous mode equal no. And that can force the autonomous agents to be disabled. A fix for this will be available in Fix Pack 1 of ITM 6.2.2. That's it for today. Again, backup materials in the back talk about the workaround for SNMP3, as well as URL links to some of the more important Go training slides presented by ITM 6.2.2. As Fabio mentioned, I am available to accept any questions that we didn't have time for via email, so please send me email at joshiro@us.ibm.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right. Great. Thank you. Thank you, John. Any last-minute question for John? If not, I'll let you all go, and I'll talk to you all next week with another Tech Talk, and thank you again, John, and thank you all for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.